Okay. We began learning last week the Sefer Yom Da'kecha, which I believe is an absolutely monumental halacha. Taking all of our limudim for all of these years to a very, very special place of practical avoid and a way of living, a way of thinking day to day. And the mavo, the introduction to the sefer, is the yisod of all of the avoda that's going to follow, which is the crown of our avodas Hashem, hatanug ba'avoda, being able to experience great joy and delight in our avodas Hashem. And we're on page Gimel, the first page. And in the at the end of the note on page Gimel, the question that the Mechaber was dealing with is a very, very well-known one that many people struggle with on different levels. It's the issue of lishma. There seems to be, on the surface, there seems to be a contradiction between our understanding of what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch, to serve Hashem lishma, entirely for selfless reasons, just to be Avdei Hashem, and the what seems to be the basis of all of our avodah, all of our Yiddishkeit, is to be able to enjoy, to have pleasure, to have tanug. Tanug, pleasure, is something which we see, we feel is self-indulgent. Sounds like something that is for my personal benefit. So how does that go together with avodas Hashem lishma? So what we were learning last week at the end is that the mitzvah of oz tis'anig al Hashem doesn't in any way contradict the yisod of one's avodah being pure for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The meaning of avodah shelo lishma, we were learning last week, shelo lishma means when the person's basis or his motivation of all that he does in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for himself. And that's the underlying energy that drives him in his avodah Hashem, is for the self. But as far as the avodah being one of tanug, so we were learning the marshal of a father who has given his son a gift. The father certainly wants the child to enjoy the gift. If the child would only use this gift because he wants the father to be pleased, but he himself doesn't really enjoy this, the child himself doesn't enjoy this, it means nothing to him, then there is something to be said regarding his loyalty and faithfulness to his father, that he wants to please his father. But on the other hand, that's not the tachlis of the father. So we're on the bottom of page Gimel on the note. So what's the siman? So he writes, Ela derech hanachayna hi sheyehen. The correct derech is that the child enjoys, that he enjoys the gift that his father has given him. And if he's not enjoying the gift that his father's giving him, then something is wrong. Ela derech hanachayna hi sheyehen. Avoyoyma ha'ikyo etzli ma sha'aba samech b'hanasi. But what the child should feel is that even though I love this, this is great, this is the most beautiful thing that I have in my life, is a gift from my father. But the ikur is that my father has nachas. The ikur is mashab sameach b'hanasi. And my father's greatest joy is seeing that I have, that I'm enjoying, that I have simcha. There's a famous word from Kedushas Levi. Actually, I think, yeah, there's a beautiful song from Yosef Karduna also. Sos osis b'Hashem. And the sos osis b'Hashem, sagal nafshi v'lokai. So the Kedushas Levi says, sos, my greatest joy in life is osis b'Hashem, is that I'm able to bring joy to Hashem. Sos, my simcha is osis b'Hashem. That's the greatest simcha that I could have, is that I give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the ikur of the pleasure that a Jew has. Sois osis b'Hashem. Does that mean that he doesn't enjoy the gift that Hashem gave him itself? Chas v'chalila. And he says, v'asim min ha'poshul lezeh, ha'im ha'yamaskim, the next page, ha'im ha'yamaskim li'konis la'avayda im lo ha'yabatanu. So how does one know? How does one measure? How do you know whether your avodas Hashem is lishma or it's not lishma? So the question always is, would you do this if you didn't enjoy it? Now, there are many, many chevra that we've seen, and maybe we've all experienced sometimes in our lives that when there's something that we don't enjoy in avodas Hashem, so we don't do it. Especially when it comes to learning, if there's a particular area of learning that one doesn't enjoy, or there's a particular masechta that you don't feel like you're getting the pleasure that you would like to get out of it, you drop it. With learning, it's we're going to talk a lot about with learning how that comes together, but when it comes to certain mitzvahs or certain minhagi Yisrael, if a person doesn't enjoy that mitzvah, so he doesn't do it. And I've mentioned this many times over the years. I've had people tell me that, you know, tefillin doesn't work for me. Tefillin doesn't do it for me. So obviously, in those situations, it's often not as obvious. But in those situations, if a person's avoda is lishma, regardless of whether it gives him tanug or doesn't give him tanug, he perseveres. He does it. So this is a way of testing oneself. Would you do this if you didn't have any tanug? Are you continuing on with this mitzvah even though it does not excite you? In lo hayah b'tanug, she me'eino maskim zeh siman she'oved bishvil ha'tanug. If you're not doing mitzvahs because those particular mitzvahs are not enjoyable to you, it's a siman what motivates you in your avodas Hashem is tanug, is pleasure. It's okay to feel that you don't have pleasure from that particular mitzvah. That's normal. We're going to talk a lot about that. That's okay. But if that means that you're stopping it, you're not doing it, so that's not okay. But if a person continues in his avaida, even though this is a particular thing that does not give him pleasure, and Kol Shekein, when the person, when he does this mitzvah, it's the hepachatam. It's the opposite of having pleasure. Look, when it comes to something like raising children, just as a marshal, when it comes to raising children. So almost every girl grows up, not guys, but girls grow up thinking like there's nothing that's more exciting, pleasurable, cute, and fun than having kids. And you'll talk to like an 11-year-old girl. She said, "No, I want to have 15 children. They're so cute. They have so much fun, right?" And then, of course, Lamaisa, she has her first child. And she, Chazal knew that she's already swearing. She doesn't want to have any more children. She's had it. Just having the kid, you know. Oh, I didn't know that it hurt so much. And then, besides having the kid and raising the kid, and then the kid doesn't turn out to be cute, you know, just turns out to be a huge headache. So then, besides the disappointment, it's a very, very rude awakening. The only problem is you can't walk away from that. It's not like you know, not going to shul or not putting on film. Who's going to take care of the kid? But there are many, many people that emotionally they walk away from that. They walk away from the kids because now it's not giving me any pleasure. It's not the kid that I wanted. It's not the experience that I expected of having kids. So I'm not getting any pleasure from it. Now all it is lishma, just for its own sake, and responsibility. Responsibility is very unpopular these days, and doing something lishma is not very popular either. It's just not popular. People are very, very much driven by tanug, by pleasure, and they're in everything in life they do is for pleasure. And when that kid's not giving you pleasure, you walk away from the kid. Not abandon the child, that happens sometimes, but emotionally, you walk away. This is not what I expected. This is not what I was hoping for. This is not what I wanted. This kid didn't turn out the way that I wanted. So that means that one's entire inyan of having children is not lishma. It's for tanug. It's for that enjoyment that what does this child do for me? What do I get out of this child? You can believe how many times I have these conversations with parents when they're discussing difficulties they're having the child, and during the conversation, I have to try to steer things back to the kid. Because you called me or you came to talk to me about your child, but this guy is all about yourself. It's all about you. It's what you're not getting out of this child. It's how you're having difficulties and how hard this is for you. You're not talking about the kid. I thought you wanted to talk about your son. I thought you came to talk about your daughter. You're talking about yourself. Sometimes it's a very subtle difference and one doesn't notice it and thinks that this is pure parenting when it's just about your happiness. It's not about parenting. It's about your own personal happiness. And it's the same reason that you didn't want to go to school. And the same reason you don't want to take care of your kid, or that you see that the problem that your kid has is insurmountable. There's nothing to do with this child, and so on and so forth. You see that there are parents that, lo aleinu, they have children that have special needs. And when you want to see avoid lishma, you watch these parents. Because these parents oftentimes don't have the tanug that we have from our children. They're not able to have the tanug that we have from our children because those kids are not able to give them the usual type of tanug. Although I've discussed this with them and they'll say, no, I have unbelievable tanug. That's just another reason why these are amazing people. That the tanug that they have from these children, even though we're sitting and wondering, like, what do you get out of this? Your whole life, all you're doing is giving and giving and giving, and you get no tanug. Child can't go to regular class. Child doesn't perform in a regular way. Doesn't act in a normal way. Every place you go, it's just you're taking care, you're taking care, you're taking care. And what do you get out of that child? What does that child do for you? It's not vital lishma. It's an unbelievable vital lishma. So that's how one knows. That's how you could tell. Let's go back on top, on page Dalet. I should have brought some. Does everybody have a sefer? So you don't have them. We have upstairs. Okay. Now let's go to the other extreme. If a person doesn't have any hana in his avodas Hashem, and he does it purely because he's obligated, he is like a person who has received a special gift, a beautiful gift, and he doesn't want it. He doesn't really want it. He has no interest in this gift. He just makes an effort. He tries to use it. Just because he respects and he honors the person who gave him the gift. So besides that, that's a bizayin to the one who's given you the gift. even though he might not know about it. But this, in the case of Hashem, Hashem knows about everything. It's a bizoyin. Shemulvad sheish was a bizoyin lenose. Ze be'ikke megala shamakabal lo be'emes yedeh mahul kibra. But the ikur is that it reveals that the makabal doesn't really know what it was that he was makabal. He doesn't know what is it that he received. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand the gift. It's like giving, you know, you're giving a caveman a computer. So, you know, he thinks, okay, this is, he uses it to knock things in, you know, to knock things into the ground. That's what he uses the computer to knock things into the ground. And the person who gave him the computer wanted to open up this caveman's life to all the wonders of technology. And the caveman just uses it to knock in a nail or something. He doesn't have nails. He's just knocking things with this. He's, you know, beating up a bear or something with his computer. And the whole time he's thinking, you know, I'll do this because he's watching me. You know, I love the guy. And I want him to know that I'm using the gift that he gave me. But seriously, there's much better ways of knocking. He could have given me something much more handy than this flat, you know, laptop to knock things into the ground. That only means he doesn't understand the gift. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know how to use it. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't understand it. It's a whole different world of how to use a computer. It's not a hammer. And if it was a matter of knocking things into the ground, then a hammer would have been something which is much, much more convenient, much more effective. So he doesn't understand the gift that he got. He doesn't know what this is. He doesn't know what it is. If we're not enjoying our tefillin, if we're bored and we see it purely as a responsibility, as an obligation, because whatever, I don't want to go to Gan, or I appreciate that Hashem, you know, gave me my neshama back today, so I'll do my tov and I'll put on tefillin. Besides that, to be zoyin to Hashem, it just means he doesn't know what the tefillin is. He doesn't know what the tefillin are. So he's using the tefillin to knock something into the ground. He doesn't understand what his tefillin are. Kim ha yudeya eich eino nana mizeh. If he would know what the tefillin are, how is it possible that he's not enjoying them? How is that possible? If a person's not enjoying davening, it means he doesn't know the gift that he got of davening. He thinks that davening is like, you know, I got to say these words because he'll get upset at me. Or I don't even know why I have to keep on telling me he's like great and awesome and powerful and all this stuff. I'm like, why he needs these things. All of the misunderstandings about davening. But I'll do it. I'll continue doing it. It just means he doesn't understand it. Like, he doesn't know what this gift is. If he would really know what this mitzvah is, if he would really know the gift that Hashem gave him, then how is it possible he's not enjoying it? When we were kids, we used to sit in the back of the shul Friday night. We used to sit in the back of the shul, and Shabbos, we always dived into it. That was when we were getting like teenagers. We sat in the back with the guys. And then Shabbos dived with our fathers. Already mincha shalosudas. We come upstairs in the middle of shalosudas and then sit again in the back, and we're just hanging out there waiting for Shabbos to end. And there was different minyanim that were starting because sometimes the old chevra would take too long, so guys would daven to finish up early. We all have places we wanted to go to much of Shabbos. And Shabbos is a matana that comes to us from Hashem's gneza, from the deepest place of Hashem's love for us. He gave us the gift of Shabbos, and we're waiting for it to end. It just means that we don't know what Shabbos is. We don't understand what Shabbos is, like cavemen with a computer. If we would know what Shabbos is, if we would understand what Shabbos is, we wouldn't be able to depart from Shabbos. We wouldn't be able to let go of Shabbos. And it's not just because when you get older, so Shabbos is now so much more enjoyable because you hate work. That doesn't mean that you're a big lover of Shabbos because you get a chance to sleep for 14 hours. the greatest lovers of Shabbos have difficulty sleeping on Shabbos because they don't want to use up the time of Shabbos for going to sleep. Not after lunch, their wife has to wake them up for mincha. Honey, the sun is setting. That doesn't mean that you love Shabbos because you look forward to Shabbos every week. You look forward to Shabbos every week. This could be that you just like the fresh and sleep. That doesn't mean that you love Shabbos. But you understand what Shabbos is. To understand what Shabbos is. So if you're not enjoying Shabbos, you're not the sleeping and the eating. If you're not enjoying Shabbos in a deep way, it means that you first of all, to be Zayin Tashah, who gave us Shabbos. He didn't give it to anybody else in the world, he just gave it to us. It's to be Zayin. And secondly, it means that you don't understand what Shabbos is. You don't really know what this is, this gift that Hashem gave. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. The whole Torah. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. HaTorah, avodas Hashem's baruch, hemisukim medvash v'nefes suf. All of Yiddishkeit, Torah and avodas Hashem, is sweeter than honey. It's misukim medvash v'nefes suf. And the kids, our children, can pick up on that when they're very, very young. The kids pick up very, very quickly whether their parents experience Yiddishkeit in such a way of misukim midvash v'nefes sufim, or whether their parents' Yiddishkeit is a burden. It's a burden and purely a responsibility. Again, it's important that they take it as a responsibility and that the kids see that their parents are makablei ol, that they are people of responsibility. But if they see that their parents' Yiddishkeit is purely about responsibility, and that their parents are not Jews who enjoy davening, who enjoy Shabbos, who enjoy their Yiddishkeit, so that sets a certain mahalach for them in their lives. The children are set on a certain mahalach. Vim adam eino margish is there. If a person does not feel that sweetness of Yiddishkeit, zemerish yesh lo eizah tos baderek. That shows that there's some mistake. He's making some mistake. There's something wrong. There's a mistake in his Yiddishkeit. There's a mistake in his understanding of Yiddishkeit, in his most basic understanding of who Hashem is, how we relate to Hashem, of what his tefillin are, of what Shabbos is. There's a basic mistake in his understanding. Look at footnote Gimel. Naturally, a person always has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Kabbalah Sol, regardless of how he feels. Now, this is where we get confused, because normally, when something is enjoyable, we don't feel that we have to work hard at it. When you enjoy something, it comes naturally. A person who really enjoys basketball, he doesn't have to force himself to the court. He doesn't have to have the coach saying, if you keep on working at this, one day you're going to enjoy it. The only place where you hear that drush is when you're in school, you know, from your Rebbe. It's not like that when it comes to basketball, but when you're eating, you know, you're having your favorite food. So nobody has to stand over you with your French fries and say, just keep on eating them, keep on eating them. One day you'll come to appreciate them. So we always associate Talmud with something that comes naturally. I enjoy something, it comes naturally to me. You hate math. There are people that hate math that from the beginning of their lives, math takes away all of the Simchas Chaim. Math just takes away the Simchas Chaim. And you decide you're going to become a mathematician. Like after suffering through 12 years or something of math, and you finished your reasons or something, your last reasons. So then your parents ask you, what do you want to be? So you say, I want to be a mathematician. They say, I understand we paid like $1 million of tutors. This caused you to become sick. You became like anorexic. Your whole life is miserable because of math. You want to be a mathematician? And the kid says, well, I want to be a Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah soul. It's my responsibility to be a mathematician. So in everything else of in life, if something doesn't come naturally to you, you run away from it. Those things that you feel come to you naturally, you're good at, you enjoy. So when it comes to Yiddishkeit, we're not used to there being a difference when it comes to Yiddishkeit. We're not used to something being at the same time pleasurable, enjoyable, and requiring amal v'yegiyah. Amal v'yegiyah. You know, you have people that are meshuggah for drinking, for alcohol. To me, the thing always tastes like poison. You make a l'chaim because out of, you know, I don't enjoy it, but you make a l'chaim because you want to say to somebody, l'chaim. And then a person will say to you, you know, you have to develop a taste for it. You ever hear that line? To develop a taste for it. Ki'ilu, it's a pair of tefillin on Shabbos that you need to develop a taste for it. Or maybe you just need to hate it and walk away from it. So if somebody is telling you about something that you don't, in Gashmias, if somebody says to you something about something you really don't like, that you need to work at it, watch out. If it's something in Gashmias, like if you don't enjoy sushi, something else that I never tasted, so I can't say I hate it. But if you don't enjoy sushi and someone says to you, like a big sushi person, says to you, you know, you really have to work at this. The answer is, why? Why do I have to work at this? What's the process of working at this? If the guy owns like a sushi store and he's your best friend and he gets insulted. So then there are a lot of things that I ate growing up because my mother just was upset if I didn't. But the second I was done with that, you know, the second I got married, bye-bye. My mother used to force me to drink hot tea. She said that's very important. I hate tea. But my father looked at me and said, just drink. And that was the end of it. I just drank tea. There was no such thing as cherry tea and lemon tea. And it was just, back then it was just tea. And now I hear the word tea, I get nervous. I didn't enjoy it, but made my mother happy. So I'm saying this. So it's enough either. It's not vayda. To make your mother happy is a chashuva thing. So to make her happy, I didn't want my father to be annoyed with me, so I drank tea. But if someone tells you in Gashmias that this requires omal v'yegiyah, we become very suspicious. And you should be. Why do I have to do this? It requires omal v'yegiyah. I don't have to do this. Why should I do this? But if you have a guy that's married and he's got 9 children and he doesn't go to work, and you ask him, why are you okay? How come you, like, why aren't you working? He says, no, I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy it. He says to him, Kabbalah all, because there are people that depend on you. That's Kabbalah all. It's not a matter of how much you enjoy it. You got to do it. Because there are people who need you and you're taking care of them. So we're very confused when it comes to this union of hana, of pleasure. Especially our generation, which is driven by hana, by pleasure. Earlier generations, there were much, much lower expectations of enjoying life. People back in the old days didn't expect that much pleasure, or things that gave them pleasure were very, very, very simple. Very simple. Nowadays, you get the parents saying, this winter, you know, kids, we're planning a fantastic trip to Disney World, you know, to Florida or something. And the kids like rolling their eyes and Disney again. Like, Disney again. My friend went on a safari in Africa. Like I have my parents are such losers. We go to Disney. Go to Orlando to the same stupid 5-star hotel. And they're trying every year to come up with new ideas, like for Pesach I'm still going to give the Pesach talk, even though we don't know what's going to be. It's to come up with new ideas, to give pleasure. In 100 years ago, if the teeth didn't break on the matzah, by little Pesach, it was a good year. Pleasure, small things gave great pleasure. So with this nekuda of hana, of tamud, we really, really messed up. This whole sugi of Tan, we don't understand it. We don't understand it. So it's obvious that a person has to. Tremendous and to continue on with this avoda, even though you feel that it's mamish painful, and you feel the darkness doing this mitzvah, you have to continue on. Kabbalah soul. Because when you don't feel any or any light and any tanug, sarach lavik mitach kabbalah soul, you have to continue on mitach kabbalah soul. It is forbidden that your emotions and your feelings should be koveya, whether you do a mitzvah or you don't do a mitzvah. It's forbidden. Look, we just learned Kehelis a short time ago, and there you have Ace Leho of Ace Listen, a time to love and a time to hate. And this farm, Rabbi Nachman and others, said he can talk about Yimei Tov, Yimei Ra. Chazal tell us there are days that are good and there are days that are bad. There are days that you love Hashem, there are days that it's the other way. Not that chas v'chalila a person hates Hashem, but there are days that you love doing this mitzvah and there are days that you hate doing this mitzvah. Eis leho v'eis lisma. And all of life is lots of a shayv, that there are times of running, there are times of returning, there are times leho, there are times lisma. Eis molcham v'eis shalom. There are times that for you to do something good, it gives you the greatest feeling of satisfaction, of shleimus, of shalom. And there are other times that doing something good is mamash milchama. It's a war. It's a war for you to do something that's good. And we have all of these eaten these times in life. And what Shlomo Melech is saying is Eis Lehov, Eis Lisnai, is that you continue on through whatever it is in life that you're obligated to do. That's in ruchnius, mitzvahs, taking care of your family and so on, doing the things that are right. Whether it's a time of ahava, whether it's a time of sin, you continue on. Now, there are those people who are going to use that, again, incorrectly. Let's say you have a situation, I'll give you an example I was dealing with this past week, a situation where there's a young wife who is being terribly abused by her young husband. Terrible stuff. And the boy's Rebbe is telling her that you have to continue on because marriage is about responsibility. And her parents are telling her, and I'm telling her, and some close friends are telling her that this is way beyond responsibility. There's something that's very, very perverse over here. The therapist is telling her to get out of this. This is crazy. She's in a situation where she's mamish being emotionally and physically abused in terrible ways. And the boy's Rebbe gave her a whole speech about how can you do this to Hashem, and so on. And this is a terrible avla, and give it some more time, and so on and so forth. So it's not pashut. When is this a responsibility? When is it not a responsibility? How is that rabbi using this idea of mitzvah in a way that's no longer a mitzvah? Because Hashem's intention was not that this is something that should cause you to be destroyed and your life should be ruined and so on and so forth. So it gets very, very confusing. It gets very confusing. Kiteva hagashas ha'or shuhubav and ne'elam. Because it's natural that when it comes to hagashas ha'or, to feeling, to enjoying, or light, Hashem made the world in such a way, shuhubav and ne'elam, that it comes and then it goes. Vayi er vayi baker. There's a teaching from Leib Leig on Pashas Noach that we've done a few times over the years. If you have Torah's Emerson of Leib Leig, it's Kedai every year to go over this Torah. No, not in Torah's Emerson, it's an Imri Emerson. You have from Rav Leibel Teres Hamas Nimrims. It's Nimrims. And there, Rav Leibel explains, it's brought in Rashi, that Noach was Mamin Ve'eno Mamin. He believed what Hashem told him, and he didn't believe what Hashem told him, and therefore he did not go into the Teva Ajadachaku Hamai. Until it was crazy with the rain, and he had no choice because of the flood, so then he went into the Teva. Then he went into the Teva. So Blabla is Mamik and Imayam is. What does that mean to say about Noach, who the Torah describes as Is Sadik, Tom Hayyub de Reza? The Baruch Shalom said Eidus on Noach that he's an Is Sadik. So what does that mean to say on Noach that he was Mamin Ve'eno Mam? What does that mean that he believed and he didn't believe? So Psadik brings it, not Psadik, Reb Leibele brings the Pasuk in Tehillim, they were saying Zemiris, Emunim Noitzer Hashem. Emunim Noitzer Hashem. That Hashem guards and looks over and watches Emunim. So the Pasuk continues. First of all, what does it mean? Reb Leibele asks Emunim in the plural. And then the pasuk goes on, Chizku v'yameis levavchem kol ha'miyachalim l'Hashem. Chizku v'yameis levavchem kol ha'miyachalim l'Hashem. That your heart should be strong, courageous, all those who have hope in Hashem. So Leibler asks, the pasuk says, Tzadik b'manoso yichyeh, emunah is in the singular, that tzadik lives by his faith. So why does it say emunim? What does it mean, a Jew who has emunim? It's emuna. You have emuna. You don't have emunim. You just have emuna. So what does it mean? Emunim noitzer Hashem. To have two faiths. What does that mean? Emunim noitzer Hashem. So Leibler says a very deep thing. He says, noitzer Hashem is longing. Noitzer also means lashon of waiting and longing. Hashem has a tremendous hishtakekus for those Jews who are maminim ve'ena maminim. What does that mean? It means you have a person who has amuna. Rabbi Leibler says that yesh pa'amim, there are times shul noifel me'emunasa. There are times that he's not on the same level with amuna, and he's having certain yiridus in his amuna, he's struggling with his amuna, and that person, despite the fact that his amuna is not the way that it was earlier, he is chizku v'yametz levavchem kol miyachlam l'Hashem. He strengthens himself, he's mechazik himself, and he brings himself, he learns, and he keeps on davening, and he brings himself back to a place of amuna. So when Rashi brings down from Chazal, af noach mikitane amuna haya, the Noach was a person, ktane emunah, of small faith, mamin ve'eno mamin, he believed and he didn't believe. So Reb Leibler says, mimonav shach, either he was a Jew that believed, a Jew, he wasn't a Jew, either he was a person who believed or he didn't believe. What does it mean, ktane emunah, hayu mamin ve'eno mamin? And the pasuk says that Noach was a tzaddik, so it wasn't mamin ve'eno mamin. And Rashi brings down that unlike Avraham Avinu, Noach needed Hashem's help in his Avodas Hashem. By Avraham Avinu was a madrega of his halach lefanai, that he was able to go on his own, and Noach needed Hashem's constant support and help. So Leibler says that if you take the word tzaddik, twice the word tzaddik is the gematria emuna. Tzaddik twice is the gematria emuna. Because the meaning of emuna being in the plural is that there's the first shlav of emuna, the excitement of being a mamon, and the avoda is with great pleasure and tonic on the part of this mamon. And then he goes through that time of eino mamon. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe in Hashem. It means that there's nefil in his emuna. He became small in his faith. Mamon, there are days of Eis Lehov and there's days of Eis Lislam. Mamin, and there are times of Eino Mamin. And the measure of a person is, during that time when he doesn't feel that Amunas on fire inside of him, he doesn't feel strong that Amunah, Is he going to be in that place of chizku v'yamis? Hashem is giving chizku. Chizku v'yamis l'vavchem kolam yachilim l'Hashem. For all of you who have hope in coming back to that madrega of emunim. That's why it begins in the pasuk. Emunim noitzer Hashem. Hashem has tremendous love for these emunim. He calls them emunim. Hashem calls them emunim. And Reb Leibler says, tzaddik is twice emunim. Tzaddik doesn't mean, I mean, you have tzaddik gomer in the Tanya, there's a person like that, but for 99.999% of the world, tzaddik is twice the word emunah. It means that there's the initial emunah, and then there's the nefilah be'emunah. Then there's the falling away, that you don't feel it anymore inside of you. You don't feel it anymore inside. And Hashem says to these people, first of all, I want you to know I love you. And secondly, chizku v'yamis levavchem kolam yachlam Hashem. Chizku v'yamis levavchem, Hashem helps you. Hashem gives you chizuk and support. That's how Reb Leibler touches up Noach. But Noach was such a person. Reb Yitzchak Vorkas, who said that mamen v'eno mamen means that the tzaddik is a person who believes even in those people who don't believe. That's what he said. Think about that. That's what a tzaddik is. To continue to believe in a person who doesn't believe in himself. To believe in Jews who don't believe in anything. That's what he says the nini of a tzaddik is. Mamen v'eno mamen. Means mam, to believe in a person who's an eno mam. To believe in someone, even though that person has no shaykhis to believing in himself, you continue to believe in him. That's what Yitzchak Vorka says. With tzaddikim, a mam took all the dinim in the world. With every word that they say, the mam took all of the dinim of this world. But that's what life is. Life is ace love, ace listen. No, there are times of mam and times of eno mam. Doesn't mean you don't believe in Hashem. There's such a thing as a tzaddik, a tzaddik ben menoso yechya. You have the tzaddik of the Tanya, that tzaddik gomor is a person, the tzaddik b'manoso yichya, muna is in the singular. Tzaddik b'manoso yichya. The tzaddik lives by his faith, singular. Tzaddik b'manoso yichya. It's gewaldig. But then you have the average, typical person is emunim noitzer Hashem. He has different madregas of emunah. Mamin v'eno mamin. Compared to what I was yesterday, today I'm not a mamin. And Hashem says to those people, And the Rebbe of those, Noach is tzaddik, mamin v'eno mamin. He wasn't the tzaddik gomer. He wasn't the Avraham Avinu. There's a mamin v'eno mamin. That's the madrega. So what he's explaining here is kiteva hagoshes arshu bavanelo. The nature of Avaida is that it's the or the light is above an element. It comes and it goes. It disappears. And there's a reason for that. We've spoken about all these things many times over the years. The Tanuk Tmidi Eino Tanuk. You might be a person that enjoys the sushi, but if you're eating it all the time, then you don't enjoy it. So Hashem made life in such a way where the Tanugim are not medium. The Tanugim, whether you expect it or not, they're discontinued. Lomagishim Isa Karoi. A Tanug, a pleasure that you have all the time, you stop feeling. If you're very cold and you go into a warm, nice, hot, warm room, then you enjoy it. Gedolipi Kamami Odam Shahir Sham Kalasman. The person who came in from the cold into the warm room, he enjoys that warmth much, much more than the person who just is staying in that warm room all the time, which has been in that room the whole day. The person who comes in from the snow and comes into the warm room, it's mechay. L'kach ha'or l'famim ne'alam. Therefore, you can be the best person, and you are the best person in the world, but the or that light is, it just disappears. Hashem made it in such a way. Now, it's not your fault at all, necessarily. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to feel once again the warmth of coming in, of coming back, at that second madrega of Amunah. Kadei shetiyeh tzipiyeh elav, that you should want it, you should long for it. V'tiyeh schachus betanuk beis bo, and there should be a schachus in the pleasure that you feel when you're able to come back to that. Lachain, therefore, it's poshut. Shagam im eino masliach lahasig is a tanug liyanich is avadah. So therefore, it's pashut. It needs to be pashut. Even though right now you're not enjoying this avodah, nevertheless you continue on with it. You don't chas v'shalom stop doing this. Eliyamtin asiyiftu chalom anashamayim. But you wait until the time comes, shiyiftu chalom anashamayim, where Hashem opens up for you this place again. Again, he's only talking about things that are required al pi halacha. It's different when it comes, let's say, you've taken upon yourself a certain chumrah. He's not talking about that. That's a different discussion. But if you've taken upon yourself a certain chumrah, that doesn't mean you have to live with that chumrah. It could be it's not for you. We're not talking about things that are not required. What we're discussing now are things that are required. If something is a chumrah, that's different. That's different. Oftentimes, people take upon themselves a chumrah that they shouldn't have been taking it. It's not for them. Maybe sometime later in life, this chumrah doesn't belong in their lives right now. So why they take upon themselves this chumrah? So oftentimes, they have to stop doing that. It's not for them. Well, he's not talking about it. He's talking about things that are achiyah, that you have to do. And here is the test of whether or not you're a mamon. Are you going to continue doing this mitzvah during the time that you're an eino mamon? Again, it doesn't mean God's for you, your mamons don't believe, but it means that you're fallen. Are you going to continue on when you're eino mamon? The kamuhu nemon loy. And as you know, the word emuna doesn't only mean belief, it means loyalty. Are you going to be loyal HaKadosh Baruch Hu during a time when your emunah has fallen? And not abandon this mitzvah or staying away from this aveira, even though it's so difficult for you, even though it's so hard for you. I will call Zekash Lefam Nechshachlah. Now this is all talking about a person who is mamin ben umam. There are good days and bad days. You may tov, you may ra. Avlim kol avodoso. However, if one's entire Yiddishkeit, tamid ein ba'or, it's dark. You know, your entire Yiddishkeit is dark. There's no or. You have no or in your Yiddishkeit at all. It's not mamin veno mamin. It's not good days and bad days. It's not enjoyable and then less enjoyable. It's bechlal. All of Yiddishkeit has become just a big old. A tremendous burden. Zetzar Bedika. This needs to be investigated. What's going on? Ki kfi hanira yesh ba'ayah b'derach havayda shalom. Then we're talking about some serious error, misunderstanding. Like Rabbi Nachman, I always tell you, remind you that Rabbi Nachman said to that person who was not keeping Yiddishkeit that the God that you don't believe in, I also don't believe in. It means that you're not an Eved Hashem. You're serving something else, but it's not God. Again, you don't understand then what Yiddishkeit is. If you have no pleasure or enjoyment in your Yiddishkeit, it means that it could be that, God forbid, he's saying Tzarech B'dika, it could be that you don't believe in Hashem. That could be, Chas V'Shalom, but you don't believe in Hashem. And it's very, very frustrating and miserable doing a million things for somebody you don't believe in. If you never have any Gishmak from davening, so that's a serious problem. If you don't believe you're talking to anyone, you know, after a while, it becomes very, very hard just saying thousands of words every day. If you don't believe you're talking to anyone, or if you don't believe that he's listening to you. So at some point, what he's saying is that this person whose entire Yiddishkeit is without any tanning at all, any pleasure at all, without any or at all, it's all you may sin, it's all eino mamon. So then that Tzarech B'dika, then there could be that we're talking about something which is seriously, seriously flawed in his understanding of Yiddishkeit, in his emunah, b'chlal. And that's another reason why in our times, unlike in earlier days, in our times, there's a huge, huge need to have limudim in emunah. From an early age in the yeshivas and at home, to teach the kids the basics of Yiddishkeit, meaning what is Emuna? Who is Hashem? In the earlier days, it wasn't something that was so important. Why is it that in the early days there was this natural sense of faith? The whole world in the early days was filled with Emuna. But when you're living in a time when, for whatever reason, having simple emunah is a huge struggle, and you think that your kid, you expected your kid should continue on doing these things like the grandfather did back in the shtetl, and you try to do, it's not working. The kids nowadays, since especially because, as we said earlier, they're very, very pleasure oriented, much more so than we are, the older generation, and certainly than the older generation. The kids now are doing everything for pleasure. They're doing everything for pleasure. So if the Yiddish guy gives them no pleasure at all, and to expect them to just move on with it, to continue on, and then you can tell your kids, listen, I never like this stuff, but I do it like so. Why don't you go to shul? So you're trying to wake up your kid every Shabbos morning, you got to go to shul, and the kid says, I hate it. And you say, nowadays you say to him, I also hate it, but you got to do it. It's not going to work. I also hate it. Well, okay, you got to go. Your grandfather went, your great-grandfather went, they went to the Holocaust, they went to shul, so you have to go through your struggle with, coming back late from the movie or something, you have to go through this and get up for davening. And the kid says, I hate davening. So Kabbalah Sol is working less and less and less. And Tzach B'dika, that's what he's saying. That's why nowadays, if you don't teach the kids about Hashem and what it means to have, how to use the computer, you're in big trouble. In the old days, if you didn't teach the kid how to use the computer, he didn't understand what it was about. He just kept on doing it. The most basic feeling of, I'm an Eved Hashem, and there's a God, and I work for him, was enough to keep people going. Nowadays, it's not enough. The kids are much, much more in it for pleasure. And if they're not getting the pleasure, and they don't understand what on earth this is about, why should I do this? And you haven't explained to them why they should do this, they're going to drop it. So everybody gets all excited because there's a whole bunch of geshmaki guys that they mamish enjoy learning. That doesn't mean that they necessarily enjoy Yiddish, right? The same guy that enjoys the Black Gemara, and he's the best guy in this year, could be that he's busy with his computer at night doing other things. It's not a rai at all anymore. It doesn't mean anything. You have many, many people that I know that they love learning, but it doesn't mean that they're elachid. It doesn't mean that they're from people. It just means that they love learning. That doesn't necessarily guess that doesn't mean that this guy loves davening or he loves doing mitzvahs. Doesn't mean that he has a deep connection like Hashem Baruch Hu necessarily at all. Just that he has pleasure in his learning. And learning comes along with other stuff. He enjoys his learning. Baruch Hashem. But oftentimes, a Rebbe can easily make a mistake. This kid, he thinks, is on the track of being a tzaddik just because he has pleasure learning. I know many guys that are completely off of Yiddishkeit, and they were great learners. There's plenty of people like that, that they're totally finished with Yiddishkeit, even though to this day, they'll sit without it, without a yarmulke, and they'll talk and learning. There's one guy in particular that I know, and that I have a very strong keshet with already for years, and he loves learning. We talk and learning a lot, but he doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't eat kosher. So it's not the same as it used to be. You have to be very, very careful with this. Kabbalah Sol is not as simple as it used to be. Okay, Rabbi Hashem, we'll continue.